your biggest, cheesiest smile. Preacher's not here to give us the biggest, cheesiest smile of all, is he? He's got the biggest, cheesiest smile, doesn't he? Don't tell him I said that. Psalm 139 tonight. Psalm 139. I hope you're awake. Robbie, wake up. Robbie is already asleep. I haven't even started. And Robbie is asleep. Can you not even pray with us this long? Psalm 139 tonight. I'd just like to thank you, church, for your prayers for my family, for my wife and I. We have been overwhelmed by the many of you. Some of you, we don't even know you. But you're coming up to us and you're saying how much you've been praying for us. And we thank you so much for that. You've been touching my wife's stomach and you've been touching mine. And it's a little offensive. I'm not pregnant. She is. So stop it. No, none of you have done that. But we are so happy. The due date is March 1st for little Isaiah Scott Thompson. And I finally revealed it to our teenagers just now. And we've been thinking about that name even before we got here. So don't take offense to that if we didn't name our son after you. Pastor Monty wanted me to name him Mark with a C. And I don't know why. I guess that's his name. He wanted us to name him Mark. But thank you so much for your prayers. The due date's March 1st. We've had so many appointments, so many ultrasounds. We've actually been to a specialist for something that the doctors at the beginning, many of you didn't even know about this, but they thought it was going to be an issue. But praise the Lord, every appointment has just been right on time. We thank you so much for your prayers. It's been evident that you've been lifting us up in prayer, and we thank you for that. I've preached a series to the teenagers now. I'm just about to preach my fourth message in that series entitled, There is Hope. And it all began because I've noticed something in teenagers today. And I've noticed something, and when I say that, know this, I am not far from being a teenager. I'll sometimes ask the junior church kids, how old do you think I am? And they'll be like, 35 and 40. And I'll be like, really? Do I look like I'm 30? Not that that is old at all. That is not old. That is just as young as a spring chicken. But I'll say, do I really look 40 years old? Because I'm 25. So I am not far removed. And I still consider myself in the generation that teenagers are growing up in now. So I'm not far removed from that lifestyle. However, there is something a little bit different now in our teenagers today. And I think it's something that's taking over because of the overwhelming influence of social media and continuous entertainment. And I think depression has a big part in teenagers' lives today, unlike any other generation, I might say. This kind of depression, this kind of lack of hope is spurned by having all the time constant entertainment, constant stimulation of their senses that they don't really know what real life is. Games today and video games are so realistic, and they constantly are involved in other people's lives like you were not, church. Unless you're in your 20s or you're in your teen years, you were not involved in every celebrity's life. Or every person that had money. I mean, these kids are on Instagram. They're seeing everything. They're seeing the influence of all these different people that you might not even know of, but they're seeing all the money that these people have, all of the fake, may I say this, all of the fake happiness that the world provides. It's put on display before them again and again and again. And they are left sitting in a corner with their little life thinking, what is the hope for me? What is the hope for my life? What is the purpose and what is the meaning of my life? So this series, There is Hope, has been a search, a search for purpose and meaning in an aimless world. And I want to describe that to you just a little bit. And maybe one day I'll get to preach another message from this series that pairs with this message, but you'll have to ask Pastor Monty for that. This message is all about purpose. And I'd like to set purpose in a moment in your mind apart from meaning. Okay, this is all kind of philosophical here at the beginning, and we'll get into the scripture in a moment. But I want you to take purpose over here and meaning over here. Purpose in my mind, and it took me a lot of thinking to get, I'm kind of a simple person. Hopefully not simple as it talks about in the Bible, but I'm a simple person in general, right? So I had to break apart in my mind, what is the difference between purpose and meaning? Because those things are very different. Because there's been times in my life where I had a purpose, but I lacked meaning in my life. And I'm sure you've had a moment in your life where you knew you were doing the right thing at the right time, doing what you should have been doing, however you lacked meaning. I view it like this. Purpose is a mountain. Okay? Purpose is a mountain that we climb our entire life. It is the mission. It is what God has put before us for us to accomplish. But at the top of that mountain, there is a waterfall. And there's waterfalls along the way. And I like to call those waterfalls meaning. They are the moments where we are able, if you've ever been on a hike, maybe in North Carolina, there's lots of waterfalls there, which is one reason I'd like to take an out west trip to the south one year. Because there's no waterfalls in Wyoming. There's no waterfalls really in Colorado, as Pastor Ogden would call it. There's no waterfalls out there. But you could be hiking a mountain. Let's say you're hiking Mount Purpose, and you're doing what God wants you to do, and that's wonderful. Every once in a while, if you're truly accomplishing God's purpose for your life, there's going to be a moment when you come upon meaning. And you stand back and you realize that what you're doing has worth. What you're doing has value that is adding to your life something called meaning. We're going to talk a little bit about purpose tonight. I have a separate message about meaning that can be found on our youth group podcast entitled 180 Teens. I'll be preaching it this upcoming Wednesday. It'll be posted on Thursday if you'd like to hear the second half of this message. Have you ever been in a car? We'll get to the scripture in a moment. Have you ever been in a car? And I would reserve this for anyone over 30 years old. Have you ever been in a car where it didn't have the seek option, it had a dial? Many of you are like, that's what I have now. That's still a thing, Pastor Scott. Well, I understand some of you might still have a dial, but in most cars, they have the seek option. By the way, isn't that a blessing? Have you ever been driving through a rural destination with a dial? And man, you say that texting and driving is dangerous? Trying to find a radio station on a dial in the middle of nowhere, and every once in a while you get a Hispanic channel, and you're like, I don't want to listen to that. Then you keep turning it, and there's just no. And then every once in a while, when you're in these destinations, a radio station will come on, and if you're not careful, you'll miss it. But if you get just in that perfect moment, the fuzz and all the static will turn to perfect clarity, and you'll hear just the song that you were hoping you were going to hear. In our Christian teenager's life, in many of your lives, there's a lot of static. In your whole life that you're going to walk through, there's going to be a lot of static, and you're going to be walking through hard times, and there's going to be times where you're wondering, am I ever going to find something of purpose? Am I ever going to find something of meaning? But God's Word is able to find that perfect purpose and meaning for your life, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Look at Psalm 139, verse number 1. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. By the way, this is David speaking. Thou knowest mine downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought from afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? We are only successful in this life when we follow God's purpose for our life. We are only successful one way in this life if we follow God's purpose for my life. Let me ask you some questions. What is my purpose? Why do I exist? Why am I here? Why am I alive? That last question, I've heard three particular teenagers ask me that question as it pertains to suicide. Why am I alive? And may I just take a moment here at the beginning of this message? If you still have a heartbeat in this room, God's got a purpose for you. If you are living in this room, God has a reason that you are alive. And you would be amazed, church, if you were to look into the eyes of some of the teenagers that I've looked into and you had to tell them that their life has a purpose. Look, there is a reason for you living today. And if you ever hope to find meaning, if you ever hope to find fulfillment in your life, you must find the purpose for your life. If we do not accomplish what we were designed to do, we are failures. I love God's creation. I love it. I love walking in God's creation. I love hunting in God's creation, but I've only ever shot one thing, and it was by accident. It was a cardinal. It's a state bird in North Carolina, just as it is in Indiana. First day I got my Daisy BB gun, I shot it. And who would have thought with the curve that those things have that you'd hit a cardinal? I hit a cardinal the first day I got it. That's the only thing I've ever hunted, but it was enjoyable. And I enjoyed it, watching it just, you know. And I love hunting because my experience passed then. And I love just walking and seeing waterfalls and climbing mountains. I love all of it. My wife and I saw the other day a bald eagle in Liston. We saw it just driving through. Have any of you in that area seen bald eagles? It's amazing. And I actually turned the car around, and I have a picture of it. At least, don't tell me it's a hawk. It's a bald eagle. I have a picture of it. Even if it's a hawk, just let me think that it's a bald eagle. Okay, so we're driving along, and birds are majestic animals. Sometimes we don't stop until we see some kind of documentary to see how amazing God's creation is. But birds have an intended design. The majority of birds are penguins birds. I don't know. Are they? I know they can't fly. They're flightless birds, right? Other than penguins. I preached this and a teenager's like, penguins don't fly. But other than penguins, birds were designed for flight. Now, if I took a bird before you and I pulled out, I don't have one. Praise the Lord. If I had a bird before you this evening and I had just a vat of water and I were to place that bird under the water and just hold it there, that bird would not succeed. You know what I'm saying? That bird would not succeed for very long. Cover your ears if you don't hear this. It would die. It would pass away. If I had a fish before you, and fish are amazing creatures that God has created, but guess what? Fish are designed to be in the water. If I were to take a fish, I had a fish, his name was Bruce. And Bruce was a good fish, and Bruce is no longer with us. I had Bruce one day, and I was taking him out of his tank to clean his little betta fish tank. Bettas are tough, by the way. They'll live much longer than you. Don't buy one. They'll live so much longer than you want. It's a cute idea. Just don't. All right, so I took it out of there, and I dropped it in the sink. And we didn't have like a garbage disposal or anything, so there's just a screen there. So I tried to scoop him, and it messed up his fin. He lived for 3 months, and then I think he either died of his wounds or because we forgot to feed him one day. But I choose to believe that it's because he died of his wounds. But fish were never made. And if I had a fish right here and I were to put it on this podium, which if I did that, Pastor Monty would, I don't know what he would say. He'd probably just laugh. And if I were to put it in this podium, and it would not succeed for very long, right? I had, at the time I preached this message to our teenagers, I had a 2006 Honda Civic Hybrid. I know. It's a girl car. Right, it's not a good car. It is fuel, it's great on fuel, but for every other design, it fails. It fails the cool test, it fails the awesome test, it fails the every speed. I mean, you push down on the gas pedal and it just makes noise. That's all it does. I could swear that it's not moving faster than I can run, and that's not very fast, right? So it is not designed for that. If I were to take that to North Carolina, and I got with my friend Daniel Wilson. He loves to mud in his Chevy 1500 four-wheel drive. I prefer Ford, but he's got a Chevy 1500 four-wheel drive, and he loves to mud. And I said, Daniel, I brought my 2007 Honda Civic Hybrid with me today, and I'm going to go mudding with you. He'd probably just laugh, and then I would take off towards that mud and get like this far, right? Because my Honda Civic was never designed for mud. It was never designed to go off-roading. Birds were designed to fly. Fish were designed to be underwater and swim. And Honda Civics were designed to be lame cars. And you were designed for fill in the blank. There are some very generic things we could fill in that blank. There is giving God the glory, yes. God has designed you and with the purpose in your life. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be like the S's, right? The old Baptist S's we used to preach. Saved, sanctified, what's the other? Surrendered, right? God wants you to be all those things. And we could preach those things very generically tonight. But guess what we can't tell you? We cannot tell you God's specific purpose for your life. Only God can. And that's the beauty, I believe, of this, is that God created you for you fill in the blank. I believe that many Christians do not find purpose, nor do they find fulfillment, because they are waiting for some other person to tell them what fills in the blank instead of God. They are looking for a pastor to fill in the blank for them instead of asking God. They are asking people that are around them to just fill in the blank and give them purpose, give them meaning, asking secular colleges or Christian colleges even, fill in the blank where I am supposed to find purpose and meaning. And let me tell you this, no man on earth can do that for you. Only God can. If you don't know your purpose, you will spend your life trying to put a square into a round hole. I put a lot of illustrations in this message because I knew you'd be sleepy. Is this okay? Okay, so I got this from our nursery. Our nursery has outdated toys, by the way. That's something we should look at updating. But I got this. Have you ever seen, you walk by the nursery, or some of you have kids, I don't have one yet, but I've certainly done this in the last month, but have you ever seen some kid trying to put a square shape into a round hole? I know that you know this. I could stand up here all night, and it would be entertaining, and try to do this, right? But it's not going to work. Unless I break this or this, it's not going to work. Church, I cannot tell you, and I can't tell you how many of you parents probably feel with me right now what I'm feeling. I have so many teenagers that are trying to put the wrong shape into the wrong thing. They're trying to do things in their life that God doesn't want them to do, and it's not going to work. It's never going to work. And until they get with God and they get with God's word about what their actual purpose in life to be, what they're supposed to be, they will never be able to find where they belong, where they fit in, what the purpose for their life is. Are you with me tonight? They will never get it unless they get in tune, unless they get the dial dialed in, if you would, into what God wants for their life. I love what Adrian Rogers said about this fact of purpose when it comes to our life and not succeeding and what that does. He said that failure is often just succeeding at the wrong things. Man, isn't that true? Failure is often succeeding at the wrong things. And may I tell you this, and I tell my teenagers this all the time, they can go out and they can make all the money they want, but unless they do God's purpose for their life, they will never have a thing we call meaning. They'll have a purpose, and they'll be self-driven and self-motivated. They'll go do amazing things with all the amazing talents that they have, but they will never find meaning. Do you know a person like that? I think most Americans are that way. They're accomplishing a purpose, but they're not accomplishing the purpose. Therefore, they have no meaning. That's why we have depression. That's why we have people. That's why we have the highest suicide rate we've ever had in America. It's because people are not pursuing God and they're not finding purpose. They're not finding meaning. We are successful when we do God's purpose for our life. We are successful when we do exactly what it is that God has created us for. We must know this purpose. And our search for answers begins in Psalm 139, which tells us about God's interaction with us. And it's not until we understand God's interaction and how God is influencing us and caring about us that we will truly understand how we fit in to all of this and how we find purpose. We must figure out more about God, in a sense, that we might find out more about ourselves and our own purpose. First of all, God knows you. You say, well, I know that, Pastor Scotty. But do you truly realize it when I say it, that God knows you? Look down at verse number 1 again. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. I don't know about you. When I search for something, often it doesn't work out in my favor. I have lost the remote an embarrassingly amount of times and not been able to find it. And my wife, she's like one of those moms who just, here it is. You know, she pulled it out of nowhere. I think she steals it, right? But when God searches for something, he knows all about it. It's more thorough than a Google search. The Lord has searched me and known me. He knows you better than you even know yourself. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought from afar off. God knows the real you. God knows everything about you. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you get up. He knows what you're thinking when you're sitting down or getting up. He knows what you want for Christmas. He knows everything about you. And that should give us comfort. And if we're not living right with God, doesn't that give us a little bit of fear? that gives us a little bit of fear that there's this person, there is this being that knows every single thing about me. But let me tell you this, church, when it comes to you finding your purpose, this should ultimately be a comfort to you, because God knows everything about you, yet he still sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for you. That's what's amazing to me, that God knew everything about Scotty Thompson, every fault, every blemish, every sin, and God still loves me. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God is able to look past those things through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's able to not see my sin that destroyed me. He's able to see the redemption that purchased a new life in Christ that's filled with purpose and meaning for me. God knows the real you. God knows not only the real you, but God knows exactly what you do. Look at verse number 3. In the day when I cry, in verse number 3 of 139, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. God also knows your thoughts and your contemplations. Verse number 4. For there is not a word in my tongue. Lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Man, that's one verse that if we were just read again and again tonight, that should convict us all enough, right? How many words do we speak in a day where we don't think about God actually hearing those words? Sometimes teenagers will come to me and they'll ask for advice. They'll ask for very personal advice. Advice that a parent, honestly, is better equipped to give an answer to. Many times I'll have to give a teenager an answer like, well, maybe you should ask your friends what you should do in this situation. Because they know you a lot better. Maybe you should ask your parents or that other pastoral member that you're closer to. Maybe you should ask them, because this doesn't seem to be a Bible question. This seems to be a personal question that you need to get more clarity on. Maybe you should ask them. Can I tell you this? There's no better person to ask a question about yourself than God. David did this in Psalm 42 when he was dealing with a serious bout of depression. He said, and he had almost a conversation with God and with himself where he said, oh Lord, I'm putting my hope in God. Remember, he basically grabbed his soul by the back of his neck and said, why are you disquieted within me? And he's basically pulling his soul out from himself and having a conversation with it and asking God to be a part of it all. God knows you. He knows the real you. And by the way, God knows what is best for you. God is better suited to answer what the purpose for your life is than anyone else, because God knows every single thing about you. God knows all about it. Have you ever seen a baby? A lot of my illustrations seem to be about kids, I guess because I'm kind of having one soon. And it's kind of scary, right? It's a... We don't know, and I appreciate your generic advice. I mean, your advice has been awesome. A lot of you men just look at me and you say, you almost look disappointed in me. You're like, you don't know what's coming, son. You know, a lot of you are looking at me like that, and a lot of you women are just, you're going to be a good dad. You know, you guys are so encouraging. But have you ever seen a baby that is running away from its parents? Like maybe a 1 or 1.5-year-old, and you want to think like, where are you? You don't know anybody. What are you doing? Like, you don't have any money. You don't have a job. If you get away with this kid, you're gone, man. You're going to be on the streets. You're only one. What are you thinking? And a lot of us Christians, we start running away from God at the beginning of our Christian faith. And I think this is why we don't find our purpose, is because we run away from the very person who can provide us with the purpose and meaning that we so desperately need, that knows everything about us and who wants to provide a life of blessing for us. Don't run away from God. God knows all about you. Secondly, God is always with you. God is always with you. Look at verses number 5 through 10. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or wherewithal shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Jeremiah 23, verse number 24 also speaks to this. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Many times I hear this phrase, I feel far away from God. Or I hear statements like this, and in a sense I get this statement, Lord, would you meet with us tonight? Lord, would your spirit come and dwell amongst us tonight? And in a sense, I get that sentiment. I understand what people are saying when I say that. But did you know this? God is here. God is with you. God has always been with you. And God will always be with you. There is not a corner of this earth that you can go to where you will be able to hide from the presence of the Lord. God is with you. And this is a question I ask to my teenagers all the time. If you feel far from God, who moved? Ravi Zacharias states that question. If you feel far from God, who moved? Because I can guarantee you this, church, God didn't move. God is there. And I believe Pastor Wall probably stated that as he preached about the what did you preach about this morning? I didn't catch it. The prodigal son. I'm sure you spoke to it, how God is always there for us. I was in junior church. I just heard parts of it. It got to noon and I was just praying it'd be over. You know, there's certain points in junior church where it's a ministry and that's wonderful, but after 11:45 it becomes survival. Isn't that right, Missy Wall? It becomes just survival. But God is always with you. I had to remind myself of that this morning at 12:45. God is with me. I can survive this. But God is always with you. And also, thirdly, God has a wonderful, wonderful purpose for your life. This isn't some Joel Osteen sentiment. This is what the scripture tells us, that God desires good for your life. Look at verses 14 through 16. I will praise thee for, man, I wish people that believed harshly in abortion could hear this point of this message tonight and believe it. And believe that God really created us in the womb. That God knew us in the womb and God was with us in the womb. I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are they works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, in thy book, all my members were written, which are in continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God knew you, and God had a plan, and know this, God had a purpose for your life before you were even born. Let me tell you this, that's an awesome God. That's a wonderful creator. That he would know us, that he would know we're going to fail, yet he would have a wonderful plan laid out before us even before we are born. I believe that many Christians know this. Believe that many Christians acknowledge this in their life, but here's the issue, I believe, with much of Christianity today, and this has been the issue in my life, that many Christians, because of our strong stance on salvation, and what a wonderful church we have that preaches the timeless gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came, that he died for our sins, and that you can accept him today, and how true that is. However, we so often, I'm not speaking specifically of our church, but more so our denomination, we so often focus on only that, and we miss out on the whole discipleship of a Christian, a new baby Christian. And I believe that we have all these baby Christians that have opened the door of salvation, and that when they die, they are going to heaven, and that's wonderful. But they've opened the door of salvation. On the other side of that door, if they would only step in, is a life of abundant blessing, a life of an abundant life with Christ that's found finding the riches of the glorious gospel of Christ and just diving more into the scriptures and in a good prayer life with God. They're standing at the doorway, but that's all they ever get. They just stand in the doorway, the door slam open, and they never walk through into the life that God actually has for them. Sure, they got their ticket to heaven, and that's wonderful, and that's great, and we can praise the Lord all day long about our salvation, but what about our sanctification? What about God's purpose for our life? Step through the door. Keep walking, keep growing in your Christian life. I challenged our teenagers this morning to not continue to be babes when it comes to the Word of God. Don't just get what your church gives you. By the way, we have a wonderful pulpit ministry at Faith Baptist Church, don't we? Pastor Monty continuously preaches the Word of God to us, but may I say this, you are an anemic Christian if the only Word of God that you ever hear comes from this podium. You are an anemic Christian unless you are consistently, day in and day out, in the Word of God for yourself, learning about God's plan, learning about God's purpose for your life. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Church, it's time to give ourselves, to get ourselves sanctified before the Lord and realize his purpose for us. And many times we fear what that purpose that God has for our life is, right? We fear, and by the way, when I speak of the purpose of God, I should have clarified this in the beginning. I'm not only speaking to teenagers, I'm speaking to 30-year-olds. I'm speaking to 40-year-olds. I'm speaking to 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds, 90-year-olds. You still have purpose if you have breath in your body at this moment. God still has a reason you're here. Do you believe that? God's got a purpose for you. You're here for a reason. Never stop searching what that purpose is. Lastly, God is constantly thinking of you. God is constantly thinking of you. God knows you. He loves you. God wants to bless you. And God is constantly thinking of you. Let me ask you this. Do you know how many grains of sand there are on the face of the earth? Not even the face of it, below the oceans as well. Do you know how many grains of sand? There's been researchers who have actually, out of just boredom, I guess, actually done the math and come to a close estimation of how many grains of sand there are on the face of the earth. But let me ask you this. I want to ask some interaction. Some of you are sleeping. Robbie, wake up. All right, he's awake now. All right, so how many grains of sand would you guess are in a cup? One single cup. How many grains of sand are there in a single cup? Human, give me a number. 10,000? Any other takers? I got 10,000. I got how much? I got 10 million. I'm just kidding. There are around, it depends on the grain size, but there are around 2 million grains of sand in a single cup. Some researchers from the University of Ohio, cursing behind the podium. I'm a Michigan fan. I'm sorry about that. I meant Hawaii, two very different places. One of them is cursed and one of them is blessed. I was speaking of Hawaii, the blessed location. In the University of Hawaii, I don't know, out of boredom, I guess they wanted to estimate how many grains of sand there are on the earth. So they took a teaspoon and they figured out how many grains of sand, basic beach sand, were in a teaspoon. And then they tried to divide in their minds how many teaspoons of sand were on the entire face of the earth. And they came to this estimation, around 7 quintillion, 500 quadrillion grains of sand. 7 quintillion. I think that's 30 zeros. And quadrillion is 18 zeros. I don't know about you. That's a lot of grains of sand. I want you to lastly look here at verses number 17 through 18. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. If you think for a moment that God is trying to hide a life of blessing, purpose, and meaning from you, you are mistaken tonight. God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a meaning for your life. And if you're struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts tonight, don't even think about it. God has more positive and good thoughts and thoughts about your blessed life than there are grains of sand on the earth. It's hard to imagine, but His thoughts towards you are greater than even that. He knows you. He's always with you. He has a wonderful purpose for your life. And by the way, He's rooting for you. He knows all about you, and He still wants you to succeed in your life. He wants you to find that purpose. So what is your purpose? Your purpose is... fill in the blank. I can't tell you your purpose. No one can. But I do pray this. I pray that your lifelong journey is a finding and a living out of the purpose that God has for you. And the second part of this message, which I hope you'll listen to, is all about the meaning that you will find along the way in that purpose. Church, God's got a plan for your life. And I pray that this message was nothing deep. But I pray that this message was simply a reminder that God loves you, that God is with you, He's never left you, and if you feel far away from God, who moved? God wants a life of meaning and fulfillment for your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that through this message that some maybe got some hope tonight. And Father, I pray that they realize that there is hope, and His name is Jesus Christ. Lord, if there are people struggling emotionally tonight with depression or with suicidal thoughts, Lord, I pray that you would vanquish every thought in their mind about those things. And Lord, help them to realize how loved, how cared for they are by you. Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for being so merciful and graceful on our behalf. And Lord, I pray that our life is a finding out of the good purposes and the meaning that we can find in life. In Christ's name I pray.